as a young man, he would always remind me to thank God for everything. You know, he would say, you know, say thank you to God. You have this food because of God. Like, we have money to buy house, to buy clothes because God wants us to. You know, it was always Allah's will, which is the Arabic word for God.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with us, we have an entrepreneur, podcaster, MMA fighter, and founder of That Grat. His name is Ali Abuzalam, and he has done some amazing things when it comes to gratitude. He has a really powerful practice that he shares on his Instagram. And also, he's been doing something that I wanted to do as well, and probably I will do at some point. He interviewed people on the streets about gratitude, and I think that's amazing. Probably I will do it in an audio version. He actually did this these kinds of interviews on the street on his Instagram. I think it's something amazing, because he not only got some very beautiful answers, but also was able to brighten people's days. Welcome, Ali, to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So, let us know a little bit more about what has gotten you so passionate about gratitude. Like, what's your story?
Yeah, definitely. So my story dates back to very early childhood. I come from a very diverse and mixed family, a Mexican Catholic mother and a Palestinian / Lebanese Muslim father and from the Middle East. So those are not only very powerful and rich cultures, but very powerful and rich religions, Catholic and Muslim. So as you can imagine, in the household, I grew up with all different types of prayers. We had, we would give gratitude and pray before we ate, after we ate, even before we got in the car, after we got out of the car. And everything's just holy, you know. In Islam, they say, bless you for everything. You know, not just if you sneeze. In America, they say bless you if you cough. They say bless you if you, obviously, if you sneeze. You know, if you're if you hiccup, they say bless you. Even if you fart, they say bless you. So there's blessings all over. There's all these prayers, and you know, as a young boy, I'm very grateful that I became very, very interested in seeking the truth in religion and spirituality at a very young age, because my father, when I was about 5 years old, he said, "Hey, Ali, you know, your mom and your abuelito, which is grandpa in Spanish, and your abuelita, which is grandmother in Spanish, you know, all those people are going to hell, right?" And I was like, "Wait, what?" As a little kid, I was like, "No, wait, there's no way God would do that. There's no way. You know, these are all really good people." So at a very young age, you know, he was trying to teach me that Islam was right and Christianity or Catholicism was wrong, but I didn't buy it. So at a very young age, I'd always been very interested. So I read the Bible, I read the Quran, Old Testament, New Testament, I read the Tao. I'm interested in spirituality, Buddhism. And one thing that I have found is consistent across the board is gratitude. But I didn't start to develop it as a practice or even see it as a practice until about 2013. So the way that everything started is, of all those prayers that I mentioned, my mother had us do this Spanish prayer called the Angel de la Guarda prayer. It's called the Guardian Angel prayer. So every morning when my mom would take my brother and I to school, we'd get in the car And with much resent, we'd say the prayer, you know, but we didn't like saying it every morning because my mom would be like, all right, say Angela Guarda. And we would just be like, oh, whatever. But we would say it every morning. And, you know, with all these prayers, I was happy to get out of the house when I was 18 and go to college. And I feel like most students, I lost touch with my spirituality, with religion, with a lot of those practices in college. And when I graduated, I felt that void. I really felt that void of, wow, you know, I don't feel as in touch with my spirituality, with God as I did. So believe it or not, in my 30-minute commutes to my job when I was living in Dallas, Texas at the time, I was like, you know what? And I started saying the guardian angel prayer. And after that, I just started praying. And I would ask God for things, you know, please God, give me this, please God, give me that. And after a couple of weeks of doing that, I started to feel really selfish and thought, wow, I'm asking God for all these things, but look at everything that I already have. I need to start saying thank you. At the time, and still am today, I was a very avid reader, listened to podcasts, and I was very interested in energy. And the more energy that you put into something, the more you're going to put out. So I told myself, hey, when I'm giving gratitude, I really need to put some energy into it. So I felt after I would say the Ángel de la Guarda prayer that it would be better for me to open my sunroof. I kind of felt like, oh, there's the connection point between God and I, right? I need to open the sunroof so I can be connected. And I would shout. I would literally scream. And I practiced to get louder and more passionate. And I would scream and start very basic with my recitation of the very basic things I could be grateful for, like my body and bodily function. So I would start there and then build up on them. And it would sound something like this. I'd open my sunroof. Thank you, God, for the abundance of blessings you continue to bestow upon me on a daily basis. Thank you for the ability to see, the ability to touch, the ability to taste, hear, and smell. Thank you for two hands, two arms, two legs, two feet, two eyes. Thank you for my brain. Thank you for my heart. And then I would go into more specific things. Like, thank you for the privilege of being able to own a business. Thank you for my amazing brother, for my amazing mother and father, for my awesome family and friends and colleagues. Thank you. And I would just say thank you, thank you, thank you for all these things. And I noticed I would feel really good. And I would get to work and I would be in this state and emotion of gratitude. So I started this in 2013 of the sunroof thing. And I didn't really start sharing it until I knew that it was benefiting my life. Because the days that I would, people at work would start to say, you know, Ali, how are you happy all the time, man? Like your energy, I love your energy. It's always so high, so good. Like, how are you doing this? And I didn't know at first. I was like, just that's just how I am, kind of thing. But then I would see if I got on the phone in my morning commute or for whatever reason forgot to do my gratitude practice, my energy, my feeling of happiness and goodness would slightly decline. And then I started to piece it together and be like, wow, my gratitude practice is responsible for that extra level that I reach of energy and happiness, and it's all because of my gratitude practice. And it started there, and I've been cultivating it ever since.
Wow. I love your story, and I think it's amazing, and it's so inspiring. And I just have to say that it's so interesting for me that you've had a really similar experience to mine. Like I've had two religions or maybe even three spiritual perspectives in my household, and that got me to look for things that are common to them, because like you were saying, it wasn't an option to think that so those people will go to hell and you will go to heaven, and that just didn't make any sense. So and this is what I discovered too, that gratitude is common to different spiritual perspectives. And I think those things that you can find in different religions are the things that are actually the truth, for me at least. Like for me, I found that love and gratitude are at the heart of every spiritual perspective on this planet. And yeah, that's amazing. And that's why I asked you before going live if you want to share a little bit on what your father has taught you about gratitude and his perspective on gratitude.
Yeah. So my father really comes from the Muslim perspective. And as a young man, he would always remind me to thank God for everything. You know, he would say, you know, say thank you to God. You have this food because of God. Like, we have money to buy house, to buy clothes, because God wants us to. You know, it was always Allah's will, which is the Arabic word for God. My grandmother and grandfather in Lebanon, they're even more religious. So everything is always around God, blessings, everything. Little things that I would do, my grandparents would say haram, which means forbidden or unholy, right? So, oh no, that's haram. Oh no, that's forbidden. And even the Muslim faith is very, is full of giving gratitude to God. You know, you're expected to pray 5 times a day. It's a practice, a continuous practice of your continuously praising and giving gratitude to God. So that's that was definitely my father's side, coming from the Muslim perspective. Is it's not so much it's not so much a practice of, hey, make sure you're grateful in the world to other people, even though that is encouraged, but it's more heavily based on your spiritual practice of worship and giving gratitude always to God, to Allah.
Yeah, I think that's an important part of gratitude as well. And yeah, we don't talk as much about that part on the Gratitude Podcast, because I myself, as you most probably, we are a bit more pragmatic with this as well. Like, okay, it's a great practice to get in a great state to see life from this perspective, not just the spiritual side of it, but also to incorporate it as much as possible in day-to-day life, and to appreciate and to show that appreciation. So yeah, I think it's amazing how these things come together, and how these experiences actually led you to become a more grateful person. But what got you to do these interviews on the street? I'm really curious on how you got to actually be curious to ask other people about their gratitude.
Yeah, that's a great question. The way I really started sharing my gratitude practice was on Snapchat and Instagram. I like to just put out positive energy out there. A lot of what I post is asking questions and engaging stuff. And then I just started recording myself doing my practice. So I'd just the first part. So I'd record myself and make a silly face, open my sunroof and yell, "Thank you, God." And people would be like, "What are you doing?" And they were kind of curious about it. So then I started, every day I would do that video and I would put 3 things that I was grateful for. And I would put on the list, "Tell me 3 things that you're grateful for." And people started answering, and I started reposting it. And I remember, I started thinking, wow, you know, this is a practice for me, just like anything else. My gratitude muscle is getting stronger, just like I would go to the gym and literally work out a physical muscle. And it was a practice just like anything else that I did, like MMA practice or a yoga practice or anything. And I could feel myself getting stronger at emoting out the expression of gratitude. I was getting stronger in that, to where whatever mood I was in, if I could go and practice my gratitude, boom, I could get myself in that state in a more powerful and stronger way because I was practicing. So I started sharing it with people, and then I was like, man, I can't just keep this for myself. I have to share it. So at first it just started with stories, and I thought people need to do this daily. And I was trying to think of a name, and I was like, well, what am I doing? I'm taking action every day, right? I'm doing daily action towards gratitude. And I said, how can I shorten that? And that's where the name Dat Grat came, daily action towards gratitude. And so I started naming it. And then I said, how can I do more? How can I give more of the world with daily action towards gratitude? Because the few people I'd interact with on Instagram, they start asking questions, because people didn't really see it as like, oh, so a practice. Okay, gratitude is a practice. Most people, at least in the U.S., think of gratitude as this thing you do during Thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's in a circle around food and you just give gratitude. You say what you're thankful for. But the term gratitude really is never described as a practice. So I was like, I wonder how many people think this way. And if people have a practice, what it is, and what are people really grateful for, and what they think gratitude is. So that's how I set out. I said, I'm going to interview people, strangers, and I'm going to go out there and ask them three questions. I'm going to ask them, what does gratitude mean to you? What's your definition of gratitude? Do you have a gratitude practice? If so, what is it? And what are three things you're grateful for today? So of course, as you can imagine, no matter how good you are at public speaking or networking, there's always a little bit of nerves just approaching strangers, right? So I had to develop it like a sales pitch, because people aren't very interested, especially when you pull out a camera to speak with a stranger on a street. So I found it to be a little bit more difficult than I thought, but I sharpened my pitch very much with some actually hostage negotiator techniques and sales techniques. So I'll share with you the pitch. The hostage negotiator always says in a negotiation, start with a no, because it gives people, it takes them off of their guard and gives people the option to back out. So I would be walking, and you know, if I see someone on the street, I'd say, hello, sir, ma'am, how are you today? I say, good, how are you? Good, thanks for asking. I have a silly question for you. Sure, go ahead. Do you dislike gratitude? No. I say, okay, great, here's the deal. And then I would give them the information real quick, cut it short to the point. I say, okay, great, nobody dislikes gratitude, right? So here's the deal. I'm advocating for a movement called Dat Grat, Daily Action Towards Gratitude. And our goal is to inspire 1 billion people by 2030 to exercise gratitude. I just have three quick questions. You'd help make the world a more grateful place. Do you have 1 minute to answer these questions? And most people would say, yeah, okay. And then I would pull out the camera. So I'm in a Toastmasters club where we practice public speaking and leadership skills every week. And one of my good friends in the club, I gave a speech about Dat Grat. And I did my whole thing, and I told people what I'm doing, and I'm interviewing people. And one of my best friends in the club said, man, I want to help you. Whatever you need, let me know. So he started helping me. And then over the last about 14 months, we've interviewed over 300 people, strangers in the streets, about gratitude, and it's been beautiful.
That's amazing. I love that. And what has been like the most surprising thing that you heard, or I don't know, share with us a few of the stories that really I don't know, made you think about life, or just that had a really big impact?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think what's common and consistent across the board is that most everyone, in their three things that they're grateful for, it's always another person or a group of people. So I think that we are so relationship based, and now more than ever, we're really feeling it, right? With this, with this global pandemic and not being able to see people and touch people and hug people. And all the grad interviews show that as well, that most of the time we're mainly grateful for people. I heard a lot of people are always grateful for the weather. If it was a nice sunny day, people are really grateful for that. So overall gratitudes. But I think what was some of the most powerful experiences in that journey was that the people who had the least seemed to be the most grateful. So I always made it a point to interview all the homeless people that hang out around the street. So I'm in Fort Collins, Colorado. It's an hour north of the capital of Colorado, Denver. It's a beautiful, very quaint little town. I call it like our little safe haven away from the universe because everybody's happy, healthy. Walt Disney World modeled a piece of Epcot from Old Town Fort Collins. It's a beautiful place. And we don't have a law against homeless people kind of just hanging out. So there's lots of police and everything's taken care of, but there are a lot of homeless people who hang around. And I make a joke to my girlfriend because sometimes when I walk in downtown Old Town Fort Collins, the homeless guy's like, "Hey, what's up, Ollie?" I'm like, "Yeah, all my friends are homeless." but it's funny because the Dad Grat interviews that I have with the homeless, even though they have the least, they seem to be the most grateful. And it's always so powerful. And every time I would interview a homeless person, I'd be like, man, I really do have so much to be grateful for. And it would just strengthen my practice. It would really strengthen my practice because they were really willing to get deep. And even though they'd be out there not knowing where they were going to sleep that night, not knowing where their next meal was going to come from, they were so grateful for what they did have. And for me, those were always very powerful interviews.
And why do you think they are more grateful than other people? Like, what do you think makes the difference?
I think that when we start to achieve more and have more things and possessions in our life, that we begin to take things for granted, and that as human beings, we're hardwired to always want more and more and more, you know, to where, look at us, where we are in society, we're so far past the basic needs. You know, we could be, it's possible to live a village lifestyle, you know, with grocery stores. We have more than enough to cover our basic needs, health, hunger, all these things. But now we have these huge homes and skyscraper buildings and cars to where we start to, when we build onto our possessions, we start to have these new baselines for what we feel we need and for what makes us happy. So I think when you have close to nothing, you're so grateful for everything that you have. And most of these people have had hard experiences, and I am a believer, some people don't think this way, but I am a believer that most pain and growth and realization comes through pain and suffering, is when we really have these profound divine wake-up calls and realizations. And I think a lot of these, you know, homeless people, obviously there's pain in that daily. There's some suffering in that daily to where it makes them more grateful than the average American household who has money to put food on their table, clothes on their back, and a roof over their head.
That's very interesting. So I think what you just said is very powerful, and I think it's something that we can all think about. And since most of us, probably all of the people listening, aren't homeless, what can we do to learn from them? Like, of course, it wouldn't be ideal to become homeless, to be more grateful. So what's our next best option from your point of view?
Right. So that goes back to having to doing some dad grat, having a daily practice for gratitude, taking daily action towards gratitude. And I think so in my interviews as well, I found that the overwhelming majority did not have a gratitude practice. And most people don't even see it as a practice because, unfortunately, even though in my opinion, I think this is one of the most important things we can do as human beings for ourselves, for the world, If we can really develop a gratitude practice, it's going to make us more grateful, more loving, more empathetic, more sympathetic. And unfortunately, in schools, it's not really taught in public school systems. You know, yeah, you're taught to say please and thank you, but it's never really shown to be a practice of, hey, you work on this, you develop this, you're going to have more happiness and peace of mind and less stress in your life. You know, if you can really work on this practice. So for those of us who want to take action and not wait for hardship and pain and suffering to start being more grateful, implement it as a practice. And you can start, I don't spend that much time every day. It's just a few minutes a day. But even if you're just starting with 1 minute a day, 60 seconds a day, as long as you can build that consistency of practicing gratitude, you're going to become more grateful and your life will improve. You, no matter where you're at in life, if you're coming from a place where you don't have a gratitude practice and you start a gratitude practice, I guarantee, I would bet everything I have that you will see an increase in the quality in your life. And it's up to you to really figure out what types of practices are going to be most beneficial for you. It's just like how people have different methods of learning. We have different methods of expression that'll work better for us. I like the gym analogy, right? There's so many different vehicles to health and fitness. Some people love running. Some people love different sports. You know, swimming. Some people may be an amazing runner but can't swim for shit, and vice versa. You know, oh, I can swim but I hate running. So you find your own vehicle to get to a healthy gratitude practice, just like you would healthy fitness. For me, I love vocalizing, but I'm also a vocal, audible person. I love speaking. I love listening to audiobooks. I'm not as skilled as a writer or reader as I am a listener and speaker. So for me, vocalizing is my primary and most powerful practice. And my trigger is when I get in the car, to where I know it's almost every single time I get in the car, sometimes twice, sometimes three times a day. Why not? Right? I open the sunroof. Sometimes I keep my hand on the sunroof and I'll just start giving thanks. Sometimes I say, thank you, God. Sometimes I say, thank you, universe. Sometimes I just say, thank you. So you don't need to follow a certain religion. You can even thank yourself. You know, you can be talking to yourself, be like, you know, thank you. And I have actually found this to be very powerful, looking in the mirror and giving yourself some gratitude and love and, you know, looking in the mirror, looking at yourself in the eyes and saying, hey, thank you. Thank you so much for working so hard, for believing in yourself. And that can be very powerful as well. So the vocalization piece is one aspect. There are other people. I have my dat grat journal here, to where I write down a few things that I'm grateful for every day and some affirmations. And then there's also the meditation piece, to where you can meditate on gratitude and think about the things you're grateful for and try and feel those emotions without speaking or writing. And then you can also give outward gratitude. Right? That can be very powerful as well, of who am I really grateful for and for what? And people respond to this incredibly well. When you really take the time to look someone in the eyes and let them know, hey, I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing what you do. And just know that I appreciate you. It's very powerful and it's reciprocated. You can feel that energy coming back. So in summary, my biggest piece of advice for someone who's trying to have more gratitude in their life is make it a practice, because that's what it is. And the more that you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it.
Man, you got to some really great points, and I really didn't want to stop you because you were amazing. And I think that to take some bits from that I also think are very, very important, like the fact that we don't need to do this practice the way other people do it. We can find our own way. And this was for me very interesting as well when I got to know you, because we have, even though we have things that are similar, we have things that are very different. And I love the fact that we can express our gratitude, we can live our gratitude practice in a very different way that's unique to who we are. And I think that's amazing. Also, wow, I love this idea about looking in the mirror and thanking yourself. Like, just picturing myself doing that was wonderful. Like, it was so so deep. And I was thinking, usually when we talk to ourselves, especially in our heads, we are not that good. You know, we tend to be like really bad with ourselves. We tell things that we wouldn't tell other people. And I think that can be such a great exercise. And I invite our listeners to try it out. And I will too, to just look in into your eyes and to say thank you and to really mean it. I think that's so powerful. And I think we all need this, because we might get some appreciation from people, but many times we forget to appreciate ourselves and to see our efforts and to see how much we grew and all of the things that we managed to do, not just the things that are missing right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be powerful. And I think you're right. Sometimes we're extra harsh on ourselves. So giving yourself a little gratitude can go a long way.
Definitely. I love this idea. And I think it's something that we should all at least try and see how it is. And I know that for some, it's not that easy to look yourself in the mirror, but it's at the same time, it's so powerful. And I was, I think it's amazing to do this self-appreciation, like inside, but what your perspective with doing this in the mirror, I think it takes it to another level. And I think that's really, really good. So I wanted to ask you, what are some things that you're grateful for each day? What are you shouting in your car when you're grateful?
Yeah, well, to this day, I still start with very basic. So I have kind of the same recitation, or close to the same recitation every morning, to where I'll say, thank you, God, for my ability to see, touch, taste, hear, and smell. Thank you, God, for my supercomputer, superhuman brain with the ability to process cognitive functions at lightning speeds. Thank you for my unmatched memory capacity. Thank you for giving me a full and able body, an anabolic muscle-building body, a self-healing body, this incredible body that has this amazing digestive system, respiratory system, immune system. Thank you so much for this incredible, perfect body. And I'll really give thanks for all the basics. You know, thank you so much for the clothes on my back. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for my vehicle that gets me from point A to point B. So once I start with all the basics, then I'm building momentum, right? So I'm already building up that gratitude within me, that emotion within me, and I'm feeling more grateful. And then I'll go to more specific things in my life. And now that I have developed this practice, I try and challenge myself, just like with any practice, to make it a little bit harder so I can become stronger in my practice. So then I start trying to find gratitude in things that are hard to be grateful for. So I try, for example, this pandemic. Recently, I've been giving thanks of thank you God for this stay-at-home order, the challenges that you are giving to the world right now. Thank you for these challenges, which are opportunities for growth, opportunities to go within, and I'll start to give thanks for those things that are a little bit harder to give thanks with. And again, you know, as with a practice, we had just talked about finding what works for you, right? Even though my strength and I don't feel the most with written gratitude, I still experiment and practice in that way because I want to be the best that I can be in my practice, right? So I encourage others, like, when you find something that works for you, don't only do that all the time. Switch it up and continue to develop the practice. I think some people give up on gratitude because they'll think, oh, I'm just going to write down three things that I'm grateful for every day. And they'll be like, okay, thanks for my family, my health, and the good weather. And then they'll do it for a couple of days and be like, oh, I'm not feeling anything. So it doesn't work. Yeah. Right. But no, you have to put the energy. You have to try different things. You have to try looking at yourself in the mirror, talking to yourself, try different things. And then when you actually start getting momentum, challenge yourself even more, because, you know, it's easy to be grateful for the things that everyone's grateful for. But when you want to take it to the next level, now, how can you be grateful for the things that may be a little bit more difficult to have gratitude in? And that's where it gets really interesting. And I love when people challenge that, oh, well, there's some things you can't be grateful for. And I will argue, no, you can be grateful for everything in some way. And I have an example. I was challenged a couple months ago by a friend. I'm like, all right, well, tell me how I can be grateful for my best friend who killed himself. And I said, okay, well, that's deep. So I let him know that, you know, obviously that's not the way that you would exercise gratitude in this situation, right? Oh, you know, thank you for my best friend killing him. So you're not going to have gratitude around that specific experience. And in a very difficult experience like that, sometimes you need to grieve, and maybe some days you won't exercise gratitude. You won't even be able to muster up the courage. You might be in a dark place, and that's okay. Sometimes we need to be there and go through that hardness. But when you get to a point to where you're able to exercise your gratitude again, you can give gratitude for the results that came from that. You can give gratitude for, you know, thank you, God, for the ability to celebrate my friend's life. You know, thank you so much for all the memories that we had. Thank you for what I learned during that grieving process. And you can even find gratitude from the result of the worst and darkest things that happened to you. I just wanted to share that we can be grateful for everything in some aspect.
Definitely. And I think it's that gratitude that can actually empower us, because in these kinds of situations we have a choice. Like, we can feel like a victim, we can feel bad, we can look at all of the things that aren't going well, or we can be grateful for the things that are going well and for the resources that we have. And with that, we can build something better and we can become stronger and more capable of dealing with the situation. And I think that's what matters, and that's what's taking us further, and that what's making us happier in the future. And I think that's something really important for us to think about. It's a choice that we have, and ultimately nobody gains if we are just choosing not to feel grateful or not to see the good things that we have going on. So yeah, I totally agree with what you just said. So we are nearing the end of our time together, and I wanted to ask you, where can our audience find you? Where can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'd say the best place would be to shoot me a message on Instagram. And my handle is just @AliAbuslam. I'm sure you'll have it in there, but ALIABOUZALAM. And there's also at DatGrat, DatGrat on Instagram. And from there, we have links to our YouTube channel that has a few more videos. But if you want to get in touch with me directly, Instagram would be the best place.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here with us, for sharing the gratitude, and for just making sure that you're not just feeling it, but you're also spreading it, and you're so generous with your gratitude practice and with everything that you're doing around gratitude. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed our time together, and hope that at least one person is able to draw something from this. So thank you again. I really appreciate it.
When you are grateful, fear disappears and abundance appears. Tony Robbins. Especially in these moments in time, we might experience fear. And that fear takes our attention away from gratitude, from solutions, from opportunities that we might have. And when we are grateful, we can see them and we can get in tune with abundance much, much easier. And you will see how in this course. Nothing invites abundance more effectively than gratitude, unknown. So I know some of you have experience with this. I have a lot of experience with this as well. There has never been a time in my life when I experienced more abundance than when I was very grateful consistently. And we will see how we can apply these specific things that I have applied as well to get more into a state of abundance with gratitude, through gratitude. And you will see how. Gratitude is the open door to abundance, the Buddha. So regardless of how we see gratitude, whether we see it as monetary abundance, or we see it in different ways, that, for instance, friendship or just other things that make us feel abundant, gratitude is an open door for that. And we will definitely work on these things so that we will be able to experience more abundance, regardless of how we see it. Abundance is not something we acquire, it is something we tune into. Wayne Dyer. So, sure, abundance many times means having more money or more objects or great experiences. But when we feel abundant, when we are in a state of abundance, the most amazing thing is that we attract different things. Like, we don't have to fight for them. We just tune into abundance and we enjoy that feeling, and more things come to us. And I've experienced this a lot in my life, and I am very grateful for that. Acknowledging the good that you already have in your life is the foundation for all abundance. Eckhart Tolle. So once we see the great things that we enjoy in our life, we feel more abundant automatically. We see that we are already abundant, and I have some amazing exercises in the course for that, and you will see how great it can feel without actually having things to change on the outside, like without more money or more things. You can already feel amazingly abundant. My invitation is for you to enroll now at no risk on your side, with 30 days money back guaranteed. And if you don't enjoy it, you just get your money back. Because once you enroll, you will start with your first week, and you will have the opportunity to go from feeling uncertain, seeing lack and not enough, to feeling abundant, and joyful when you pay for things and unlimited. So enroll now, and in less than 1 month, if you apply what you learn in this course, you will definitely get your investment back and even more, because you will be in a state of abundance, and what you will be investing, you will be receiving maybe even tenfold. So thank you so much for your time, and let's get started with week 1.